The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible, please, and go back, if you will, to Matthew chapter 15. Look at verse 35. The Bible says, "And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground." Now, you understand that this multitude has been traveling some time. They've been following him. This is the Lord Jesus, of whom he is directing his attention now to the multitude. He tells them to sit down on the ground. Now, may I tell you, if he had not told them to sit down on the ground, they would remain standing. He had their attention. They're tired. They're weary. But the focal point was on him and what was about to take place. The Bible says in verse 36, "And he took the 7 loaves and the fishes and gave thanks, break them and gave to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude." So he tells everybody to sit down. All right. After he tells them to sit down, he gathers up that which is the 7 loaves here and the fish, breaks it, gives to the multitude. In turn, the multitude gives it to those that are sitting down. Now, notice this, if you will, please. The Bible says, "And they did all eat." So there wasn't one person that did not eat. Verse 37, they all ate. They all had food to eat. The Bible says, "And were filled." So this is like a smorgasbord, if you would, please. This is like going through one of those lines where you go back over and over and over again. By the way, eating in restaurants like that could be dangerous. You know, when you order something off a menu, you know you're getting that only, and you're going to eat it, and then you're going to leave. But when you go to one of these buffets, when you go to a buffet and it's open and you can just go back over and over and over again, if you're not careful, when it comes time to leave, you cannot get out the door. And so you've got to be very careful. But here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And they did all eat." So not anybody was left out. You're going to see in a minute, of course, the many that was fed, but not anybody was left out. There was not a man that was left out. There was not a lady that was left out. There was not a child that was left out. Anybody that was there was all going to be able to eat that day. Well, not just eat. The Bible says, "And were filled," all right? So they didn't just come and eat just a little bit. Like have somebody over and all of a sudden somebody comes over and says, "You know, by the way, I knew you weren't mine, and so I invited 9 other people to come with me, and they're all sitting in the car, and so could they come in now?" You know, these people were all filled. You know, they didn't have to cut down the portions because extra people showed up. Isn't it neat to understand this morning that God is never surprised? I said, isn't it neat to find out this morning God is never surprised? Isn't it neat to find out this morning that there's nothing that ever shocks the Lord? You say, "Well, preacher, you don't understand. I'm going through a difficult time." You think God is shocked? "Preacher, you don't understand. There's some people that just don't really understand what I'm going through." Do you think God is shocked? Now, you may be shocked. You know, if 9 extra people showed up for a meal that you only prepared to feed 5 with, you'd probably be shocked. Okay? But there's nothing under heaven that shocks God. See, and the Bible says right here, the Bible says, "And they did all eat, they were filled," and the Bible says they took up of the broken meat, okay, that's the fish, took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets full. Now, that's pretty neat to equate it, if you will, okay? The Bible says here in the beginning, in verse 36, that there was 7 loaves and fishes. Then you're going to find out that there was that which was 7 baskets full, if you will, please, of the meat or the substance that was given. That was including the fish. Okay, that's including the bread. Okay, so the substance is including that which they did eat, the meat that they took upon themselves. And the Bible says, "And they did all eat," were 4,000 men beside women and children. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people. All right? And so all these people did eat. All these people had this prepared for them. God knew exactly what they needed. And by the way, may I share with you this morning that not only is God not surprised when you go through something, but God is very well capable of meeting the need that you have in your individual life. It doesn't matter if it's a big need, doesn't matter if it's a moderate need, doesn't matter if it's a small need. God is capable of meeting every single need in your life, and there's nothing in your life that is unimportant to God. Nothing. You know, we wait around till it gets big. We wait around till it becomes overwhelming. We wait around until it seems like it is so big that we can't even begin to justify in our own minds how it's going to work out for our good, but yet those little things are very important to God. And isn't it also neat how God took a little bit and then a little bit more and a little bit more? We're not talking about he served whales on that day. We're not talking about that. Well, you know, there was 4,000 people plus the men, plus the women and the children. And so what he did is he brought in five whales and he sliced it up and he served platters. No. He's talking about little bitty fish. So isn't it neat how God can take a little, multiply it into becoming that which is a lot to be able to meet your need? Most of us in this room could not eat a whale. But most of us in this room would enjoy having a fish platter. How many like catfish? Raise your hand. Like catfish? All right. How many like other type of fish? Okay. How many just like to eat, period? Okay. I just wonder if you're alive because some of you are sitting there like, I don't know if I like that fish stuff. Okay. All right. But watch this if you will. Here's what we do understand. We understand this. We understand that God, no matter what your need is, nothing catches him by surprise. We understand this, that God is already predetermined that he is capable and is to be able to help you in every fashionable problem that comes your way. We understand that. We understand that God's supply is able to meet any need that comes in your life, doesn't matter how big it is, moderate it is, or how small it is. Now, let's notice some things that takes place here. Let me give you some thoughts to think about as we talk about lessons from a few small fish, lessons from a few small fish. Let's notice some things this morning, that there is no need so common that Jesus cannot meet it. There's no need so common. I'm talking about common things. Common things that we just might overlook. Common things that we might just look at and say, well, you know, I'll tell you what, I can pretty well handle that for myself. I can pretty well take care of that myself. You know, the Bible teaches me that it's impossible to please God without faith. All right, so what am I supposed to do? I am supposed to operate in the realm of faith and be able to take everything, whether it is big, whether it is mediocre, moderate, or whether it is small, I'm supposed to be able to take those things to him. Now notice this. Look in your Bible, Matthew chapter 15, verse 32. The Bible says that Jesus called the disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continued with me now 3 days. So these people have come, they've followed him for 3 days. Now, by the way, that's a sacrificial walk. That's a sacrificial walk. Probably was not thinking that, okay, I'm just going to follow him down to the corner and then he's going to sit there, stand there, and he's going to give us a scriptural a lecture. No. I kind of doubt if they knew it was going to be a 3-day walk. All right? And so now you find out here they walked for 3 days. The Bible says, watch, and it says, and have nothing to eat. So they didn't prepare for the journey. So they didn't know it was going to be a 3-day walk. So they start to walk. And by the way, you don't know exactly where Christ is going to carry you in your life. And sometimes in your Christian life, here's what happens. As you're walking along, this pops up and you think, well, I wasn't expecting that one. And then you're walking along in obedience and this pops up. And it's like, man, I wasn't expecting that one either. And then you're walking along and then this pops up. It's like, wow, that one hit me broadside. I wasn't expecting that one either. Now, wait a minute. You'll notice they still kept walking. Hungry, maybe wanted to sit down, maybe wanted to take a rest, maybe wanted some relief, maybe wanted to be able to stop, but they didn't stop. They didn't take a relief. They didn't whine. They just kept on going. So here they are walking for 3 days. Now the Lord, being the compassionate one that he is, looks out, sees them with a heart of compassion, begins to say, okay, now wait a minute. You know, they've been walking now, following now for 3 days, multitude of them. Nobody fell by the wayside. Nobody decided to sit down. All of them followed. And the Bible says, and have nothing to eat. And I will send, it says, them away. He said, I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way. Now that's a caring Savior. The caring Savior says, look, calculation. They walked for 3 days following me, which means probably they're going to have to walk for 3 days back. He says, before they go back home, I go out door knocking a lot, inviting people to church. I spend a lot of time in Forney. We have many people that drive in from Forney here this morning, and I thank God for you. There's people that drive from Rockwall. There's people that come here from Plano. There's people that come here from Frisco. There's all sorts of people that come from different places, and you drive a great distance in order to get here, and I thank God for you. Now, wait a minute, though. Do you understand that sometimes we can take a journey, and if we're not careful, when we go into somebody's house, we're not prepared for what comes. I find out when I go into Texas homes, a lot of people in Texas are very kind. They're very kind. You know, knock on the door, the average person, once they find out that I'm a pastor of a church, the average person in Texas will say this, why don't you come in? Why don't you come in? You know, would you like to come in? And I'll say, well, sure, I'll come in. Many times before I leave, here's what they say. Would you like some water? Would you like some Gatorade? Hello? I've had people say, would you like a beer? I said, no, I would not care for one of those. I appreciate it. My partner wants it, though. No, I don't do that. I do not do that. But I said, no, thank you. I appreciate it very much, but no, thank you. All right, now, wait a minute. But many times they'll give me a water. They'll give me, they'll ask me. They'll say, hey, especially church members, they'll say, hey, I heard you like coffee. Would you like some coffee? I'll say, sure. All right, now, wait a minute. And courteous people, just courteous people in Texas. Everybody ought to move to Texas. Now, wait a minute. And so I find that, that's funny. Mrs. Nash is so funny. She didn't know that things grew green in Texas. And so they went to some place. One of the ladies in her church invited my wife to go and her to go and some other people to go to a tea. They went to a tea. And they went to a tea and they went to this nice pumpkin thing, you know, where you see all these pumpkins on the ground and all this other stuff. You know, and she came in yesterday. I mean, I tell you for sure. She came in yesterday and said, preacher, I feel at home. I said, what do you mean you feel at home? She said, Texas is now my home. I said, what are you talking about? She said, it's beautiful here. Well, every place on the face of the earth has beautiful spots. It's true. And so she found that beautiful spot. And may I say, what you look for, eventually you will find. You will. You will find. Did you know that here's what's taking place in this particular story? Here's what's taking place. They have traveled now for 3 days. They're weary. They're worn. Do you believe that when Jesus provided something, do you believe that probably they thought, man, this is wonderful? How many of you have not eaten for like 3 or 4 days, and all of a sudden, don't raise your hand, and all of a sudden, you know, you go on a fast, or you've been ill, you don't eat for 3 or 4 days, then all of a sudden it comes eating time. Or you got to go to a test, go to a hospital, and they tell you, don't eat now for 24 hours before you come. And you think you're going to die. Then after the test, you look at your wife and say, oh, you know, never liked McDonald's before, but I see the golden arches now. You know, and you go over and you get a hamburger, you know. All right, now wait a minute. And it's your utopia. All right, and so here's what we understand. We understand this, that there's no need. There is nothing that is not going to catch, if you would please, no need that is not common unto the Lord that he cannot meet it. He can meet every common need. Now, the Bible says they'd walked for 3 days, had no food. He said, I'm not going to send them away fasting. Why? I care about them. They may faint in the way. They may faint in the way. John chapter 12 and verse 8, the Bible says, the poor always ye have with you. And so you're always going to have people that have needs in the life. You're always going to have people that come, and as they have needs in their life, they begin to search for things, and if you're there to be able to provide that need and help that need, then you're able many, many times to be able to help them with other needs in their life. Here, they've been listening to the Word of God. They've been following Jesus. They have that physical need, and many times that physical need will all of a sudden be taken care of, and you feel that strength to be able to complete the journey, and that's what they did. They had their physical need taken care of. By the way, are you listening to me? Sometimes those things will catch you off guard, those common things. They catch you off guard, and you say, I just don't know what to do about this. Here, all of a sudden, these people showed up. All of a sudden, there's this problem. But, you know, you always should pray and ask the Lord to help. There was an elderly lady. She was in the back room. She heard something in the front room. She lived by herself. She was a little bit scared. She kind of went into the front room, and there was a burglar. I mean, he was burglarizing the house, and she prayed out loud, "Dear Jesus, please help me." And then she got a little bit of boldness about her, and she shouted. She shouted, "Acts 2:38. That's what she said. You know, and she had that going through her head for some reason. She shouted it. The guy froze. The guy froze. I mean, he didn't move. He didn't move. He didn't move. Police showed up and said, "Well, why didn't you move?" She said, he said, "Well, you never know what an older lady is going to do that has an axe and 2:38s. Now, may I say, do you understand that there is some commonality about just simply when you get backed in a corner, what do? You pray. You pray. You get backed in a corner, and the thing you ought to do is remember maybe some scripture that you saw. Maybe you read it that morning. Maybe you read it that afternoon. Maybe you heard somebody just mention it. Maybe through your Bible reading, you know, you saw a verse, and it kind of, pricked out in your mind and whatnot. Or no, wait, what am I saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying don't let those common things overtake you. God can help you with common things. Statement number two, there's no need. I said statement number one, so common that Jesus cannot meet it. Statement number two, there's no task so large that Jesus cannot perform it. There's no task, no task so large that Jesus cannot perform it. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 34, here's what it says. It says, Jesus saith unto them, "How many loaves have ye?" And they said, "Seven and a few little fish." All right? And so what takes place is there's the thousands that's waiting. They're hungry. Jesus is getting ready to tell them to be seated. There's a huge task. Huge task. You know what I found out about our big day? And thank you so much for coming to our big day last Sunday. And remarkable. Remarkable. What was it? 1,139 people. Remarkable. 110 people walking the aisle receiving Christ. Remarkable. 22 people being baptized. Remarkable. Hit our budget. Remarkable. I'm telling you, because normally what happens, let me tell you what happens in churches across America, is you'll have a big attendance and few people get saved because everybody's focused on getting the friends, and they'll invite, most of the time they'll just invite their saved friends. And so that's what happens in the average church across America. And then normally if you do have a lot of people get saved, and many times your attendance will be down. But normally when you have a big day, it's a rarity you ever hit your budget, at least in many churches across America. And so, boy, I was shouting, "Amen, attendance." And then I was shouting, "Amen, people got saved." And now I was shouting, "Amen, people got baptized." And then I was saying, "Oh, but I got to wait. I can't give that fourth amen yet, because I just want to see, did we hit the budget?" And we hit the budget, and I'm like, "Amen." And so we got victory in every single one of those. Now may I say, I believe that when the disciples are passing, can you imagine? I mean, here it was, just seven loaves, just a few small fishes, and the disciples were a part of that. They were a part of that. And as there was a part of that, then all of a sudden as they're passing out the bread, and then there's more bread, and then there's more fish, and God has that which is a sufficiency that is no quit in your life. You know, you pray and you say, "God, will you do this?" And he does it. And then all of a sudden you feel like, well, you know, I can't ask him for that too, because I just asked him for that. But he wants you to ask him for that. He wants to be true in your life. He wants you to rely on him for everything in your life. He is a good God. He can answer prayer. You're not going to wear him out. You don't need to feel like you're this insufficient child that's not important to him. You're more important to him than the breath of life. You have to understand that he can be there for you and help you with every need in your life. And God wants to do that. So for the common things that come your way, you go to him and you ask help. For those things that come your way that are larger than the common things, you go to him and you ask for help. Well, I can't wait. You know, our auditorium, to me, our auditorium is dark. It's dark. When I see you up there in the balcony, I have no idea who you are. I thank God for you, but I can't see your face. It's just a blur. I think you have a face. I think on your face there's a nose somewhere. You probably got eyes, and you can probably see me, but I can't see you. Now, I love you, and I know you're there because I see images. Some images are taller, some are wider. I see images. But I have no idea who you are. And I wait to see who's coming down. That's why when we get ready to shake hands, I go out immediately. I get my wife, we go out immediately because I want to see who's coming down the balcony. You know, now if you leave early, shame on you. But if you leave early, I have no idea who you are. You know, so we never see each other. All you say is, oh, Brother Wells is my pastor. Then all of a sudden you pass me in the hallway one day because you're not sitting in the balcony. I shake your hand and say, God bless you. Who are you? Hello. All right, but here's what Jesus did. Jesus is the one that rises up and he says, now, wait a minute. He said, I am able to help. And just like Jesus is able to help to take the little, I believe that that's what's going to happen in our auditorium. I'm excited about it, to be able to take. You do your part, I do my part. All the little parts coming together makes the whole. For you know it, auditorium is remodeled. For you know it, there's lights on. For you know it, we get to see everybody's faces. Hey, wait, here's what we understand. We understand this. There's no task that's too large that he cannot do it. There's no task. It doesn't matter what it is. You said, but you understand, preacher, I'm going through all this trial and all this trouble, but there is no task that's greater than what the Lord himself can be able to handle and what the Lord himself could be able to do. D.L. Moody was on a boat one day and he was coming in. It was a very bad storm. He's coming into Chicago and through the Great Lakes there. And boy, you know, it's just, you know, a storm is brewing and stuff. And so people asked him, you know, everybody's running around, they're praying, saying, you know, dear God, dear God, dear God. And Mr. Moody wouldn't pray. They came back to Mr. Moody. He said, why in the world aren't you praying? We don't understand. Why aren't you praying? He said, well, to be honest with you, I have a sister in Chicago and I have a sister in heaven. And it really doesn't matter who I see tonight. So he wasn't letting things upset him. He was saying, look, I've got a sister in Chicago. I've got one in heaven. And so if I die, I'm going to see that sister. And if I don't die and I wind up in Chicago, I'll see that sister. And I don't really care who I see. You know? And so here was our Lord. Here was our Lord, and our Lord was looking out, and he sees this large congregation there, and there, no doubt, there were some people, the disciples might see these people and say, well, you know, they're going to go home hungry, or they're going to go home full. It was out of their hands. That storm that hit Mr. Moody was out of his hands. It was in God's hands. And so he trusted God for the outcome of that to be able to work in his life. And there has to come a time in your life and in my life when we decide we are going to trust God. We are going to trust God, okay? So somebody gets down, somebody gets poochy lip disease, I go over, I pat them on the back, I try and love them, I try and help them, but I can't make them receive my love. I can't force my love inside of them. I can't do that. But what I can do is I can trust God that God would work. Watch this, okay? So here's what we learn about those few small fishes. We understand this, that there's no common need that Jesus cannot meet. We understand there's no large task that Jesus cannot perform. Statement number next, we understand this, there's no place so destitute, so desolate, that Jesus himself cannot transform. There's no place. There's no place. Somebody says, well, you know, you don't want to have a church there because it won't work. No, it'll always work if Jesus is in the works. How many times have we heard as preachers across America, well, you can't do it today. They did it yesteryear, but you can't do it today. Oh, I'm saying that you can do it today. Nothing is impossible to him that believeth. Nothing is impossible. So if it could have been done yesteryear, it can be done today. He's the same God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Somebody says, well, our world has changed and the wickedness has changed and it's heightened and you can't raise a godly kid in such a perverse nation. No, you can raise a kid in such a perverse nation that is a godly kid if you put in godly spiritual principles and put them as operatives in your life and reach out and be able to grasp them and pull them in and be obedient. You can raise a godly spiritual kid in this perverse nation. And so here's what we understand. There is no place that's so destitute, so isolated, if you would please, that Christ himself could not transform it. The Bible says in verse 33, and his disciples say unto him, he says, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? They're looking around and they're seeing it's impossible. No, there's no way. Now, you can do that if you want. And you can look at the circumstances if you want. But can I tell you, circumstances are deceiving. Because your God is bigger than your circumstances. Well, I'm destitute. I'm in a lonely place and nobody understands. That's an understatement because God does understand. The problem is we need to run to the one. You know, the weather man is just the predictor. There is only one producer and that is God himself. So for the weatherman to say, well, the weather's going to be this way, well, that's just his prediction. Now he's got all these things, you know, that reads this, and that is wonderful, but there's still only one God that can make things happen. That is God himself. And sometimes I do believe that what has to happen is we become in an isolated place before God can really be invited in to show up. All right, give you an example. Normally, people do not come into my office for counseling when the marriages are going right. Very seldom. Now, I do have a few people that come to my office, and here's what they say. Pastor, I made an appointment today just to tell you I love you. I'm praying for you and your family, and I thank you for being my pastor. I do have a few people that do that. But most of the people that come into my office, it's when they're in the emergency zone. And it's like, you know, our marriage is falling apart. Our kids are in utmost rebellion. Our financial world is now crumbled in pieces. I lost my job. I have an illness. All right, now, wait a minute. Why should we wait? And why don't we pray before the big tragedies come? But you know what happens in those isolated incidences in our life? When we become isolated, when all of a sudden these things that come our way causes us to be alone, then we're forced. Now we're forced. God, I have no other hope than you. Well, wasn't it that way all along? Well, God, I just didn't know who to turn to, but I need you now. You needed him earlier. See, here's what it says. The Bible says, and the disciples say unto him, says, whence should we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill the great multitude? Now watch what the Bible says. In verse 38, look down, if you will, verse 38. The Bible says, and they did eat. It says were 4,000. Men beside women and children. So even though they could not see it, God could bring it in. Give you just a couple of illustrations. I was preaching over in Alvarado, not very far from here, Alvarado, Texas, many years ago. I was getting ready. I was flying out. I was heading over to the Philippines. I was trying to raise money for Bibles and whatnot, for pastors and for material. Lacked about $2,200. I was going by faith. I prayed, and I said, dear God, please, would you do this? Please supply the money before I get on the plane. A lady was sitting in the back. She came up to me, and of course, you know, when God gives you something, you want to know what God gave you. You're anxious. You know, somebody gives you a gift. I don't care how old you are. You still want to see what's in the gift. So I did like the, you know, average Baptist preacher. I went to the bathroom. She said, I got something for you. God's laid it on my heart. I didn't give it to you last year, so God said I was supposed to double it. I was supposed to give more or whatever. So I went to the bathroom, and it was exactly the need that was needed in order to supply. Oh, I remember one time it got worse than that. Mrs. Wells, remember this. I was in L.A. getting ready to fly out, and this was another mission trip. I needed a couple $1,000. I was getting ready to fly out, and I didn't have it. And my prayer has always been, God, I'm going to obey you no matter what you say. I'm going to obey you. I know you will supply. You don't have to supply on my time limit, but please, would you supply? And so, but I'd always ask the Lord to supply before I leave, if I'm taking one of these mission things, before I leave America. Because, you know, you have a better flight that way. You know, instead of sitting there, and I don't care who you are, you know, sometimes you do get, well, you may call it righteously concerned. But you do get concerned. So I've always said, dear Lord, would you supply it before I leave America? Never forget, I was in L.A. I was at the airport, and I'm getting ready to board. And I thought, man, you know, I'm still short, you know, a couple $1,000. I don't know what to do. Still short, a couple $1,000. And so I'm getting ready to board the plane. There was somebody that was living over, San Francisco, I believe it was living over in the San Francisco Bay Area that called up and said, by the way, I know you're getting ready to fly out. Just want you to know, I'm going to send this. It'll be at your house. Somebody else called from the Boston area or someplace in the Northeast and said, God spoke to my heart last night, and I just want you to know I've got this. And by the time I got on the plane, it was done. It was done. Now, what is that? That's a good God. That is a good God. I've gotten up to preach before and had fever. Start to walk out this door. Man, I don't feel like it. Man, just feel nasty. Got fever and get up to preach. And in the middle of the preaching, many times at the beginning of it, all of a sudden the fever break. That's a good God. That's a good God. You go out and you make a visit. You can't find the visit. You bow your head in simple prayer and say, dear Lord, I know you want me to visit and encourage these dear people. I can't find them. I can't find them. Would you help me? And so, you know, you're on a one-way street or something. You drive down before you know it. You know, the person sitting beside you, you see something. You know this is exactly where you just need to go. Now, that's a good God. That is a good God. And so God will use things to encourage you along the way. Now, can I tell you something? These people did right. Here's what they did, and I'm done. They just kept following. They were weary, kept following, was weary, got tired, didn't sit down, kept following. And it took them 3 days to get fed. So God fed them and God took care of them, but it might not have been when they wanted to be cared for. You like to eat every day. You like your needs met. You like God to do it right now. So it might not be when you want your need cared for. You might not get things changed the way you want them changed at the very hour you want them changed. But in time, God's not going to forsake you. God will meet your need. And it might be that he holds back a little bit to meet your need so that you can learn to trust him more. So that you can yearn for him working more. And as you do that, God shows himself faithful. Let God work in your life. Let God take the little things in your life and encourage you and help you and strengthen you. Then he'll add a little bit more and a little bit more. And before you know it, you'll be able to look back and say, well, I remember that day when God took that which was little and met a great need in my life.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at pbcmesquite.org.